And welcome into Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. That is Steve Hall broadcasting from the Midlands. I am Matt Smith broadcasting from parts unknown as I make my way back to the Palmetto State trying to beat the storms. We will soon be joined by Andrew Baxley, Akeem Ballum from PrepHoops.com as we strive to cover every corner of the Palmetto State's high school sports scene. We will have plenty of basketball to discuss with Andrew and Akeem coming up here on Four Quarter Friday. But, Steve, we have reclassification. Now we have, like, manna from heaven, realignment. You and I were discussing, okay, what are the major storylines right now in the state of South Carolina? Obviously, it caught my eye what's going to happen on the Grand Strand, in Charleston, and in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. You lived in the Midlands. You played ball in the Midlands. What jumped out to you when we look at region realignment coming to South Carolina?
Well, I mean, one of the probably the headliners, to be honest, is the Horry County Myrtle Beach region. You know, is very, very different. As you can see, Carolina Forest and Socastee are now in Region 6 with Berkeley, Cane Bay, Goose Creek, and Wando. And, man, you know, I can't really fault the high school league too much because they got a really difficult job not throwing stones or anything. But this is a is a bear of a region. And for football, it's not a huge – it's not that big of a deal. Like, it's still long trips. But when you start talking about JV and B team football, which are not held on Friday nights, and then you got, you know, winter sports with, you know, the craziness of the holidays with wrestling and basketball, and then you get to the springtime and you got track and field, you got boys tennis, you have baseball and softball, girls soccer, boys soccer. That is a lot of travel. And so that is definitely what jumped off the page to me, Smitty. You know, what's your take? I mean, you live up there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right on it. And we have got a lot to cover because we will absolutely jump on the winter sports today too. But this reclassification or the realignment now, the regional realignment is such a big deal. And we want to get your thoughts on this as well. So if you were watching us on the live stream on YouTube, jump in there about anything that we may miss as we try to bring forth the opinions of everybody that live in all these corners. As you just mentioned, Steve, so I cover high school football now in the Grand Strand area, but I've lived in Charleston. I lived in the Spartanburg area and covered sports up there for a long time. As I look at what happened, and you hit on it in our text last night as we were talking about how region realignment is going to affect everyone, you said, man, you know, if you only have two 5A programs in the Grand Strand area, which is what we now have because the Florence schools aren't necessarily part of the Grand Strand, they're the PD, but they went down. It would have made some sense if you connect Florence with the Horry County schools because they butt up against each other. But in this case, Socastee and Carolina Forest stand out. Now, if you're Berkeley, High School, Cane Bay High School, Wando, Goose Creek, I think you're okay with this for the most part because, yes, you've got the two outliers in Carolina Forest and Socastee, which are two-hour-plus trips from where you are. But Berkeley would have wanted to keep – you know, Berkeley and Goose Creek want to play each other. We talked to J.O. Man, A.D., Brian Mahan last week about this, about how, you know, there's – travel is a factor, culture is a factor, county lines are a factor, but you also want to keep the schedule. You love those – games across all sports that the fans get excited about. And if you're Berkeley and you play Goose Creek and Wando, and if you're Cane Bay and you're playing Goose Creek, you love those games. You absolutely love those games. So I think, perhaps, as you said, the Socastee High School League, I'm not going to throw stones. They're doing what they can do because everybody is coming to them. They're all, everybody's appealing. There's so many appeals. So then after realignment, now you try to do your best with the regions. We'll get to the Midlands in just a minute, but what jumped out to me in the upstate was a couple of things. So Gaffney moved down to 4A. Gaffney is no longer 5A. So that moves Gaffney. They now can't be in a region with any of the Rock Hill schools or the Spartanburg County schools where they have all those natural historic rivals. So now they're with some Greenville schools in 4A. In Region 1 and Region 2, and this happens every few years when we have this realignment, Burns is always caught in between. Because if you know anything geographically about the upstate, Burns is in Spartanburg County, but they are the furthest west of all of the Spartanburg County schools, further west even than Dorman. So it's not a long trip to go to Greenville, but it's kind of like Burns, you know, those people in Duncan grew up wanting to beat Spartan High, wanting to beat Dorman. You know, they had their natural rivals there, even though geographically it's not that far from, say, Burns to J.L. Mann. It's not. They didn't have the natural rivalries, but about every five, you know, every two realignments, Burns ends up going with the Greenville County schools. And I think you can't complain at all, even though it's not an easy trip, say, from Dorman High School all the way up to Rock Hill High School. If you look at Region 2 5A, I don't think you can complain. They have a history. When I was actually in high school in the upstate, Steve, that was almost what the region looked like. This is what Region 2 5A and now is the old Region 2 4A minus Gaffney, which you can't have because it's 4A. So I'll obviously lean on you when it comes to geography in the Midlands. But to me, I'm not really clutching my pearls here because at the high school league's hands are tied. We've got all these schools appealing. Once all of these schools either won their appeals or lost their appeals, I think they're doing the best they can do. And even though it's a long trip for Sox D and Carolina Forest to go to all of those Charleston County schools or Berkeley County schools, I think they're doing the best they can do.
Yeah, and just I found Joe Wedra. I don't know if I pronounced that right. One of the great journalists in our state, he actually has it great on Twitter. Carolina Forest to Cane Bay, 2 hours and 9 minutes.
There you
Carolina go. Forest to Berkeley, 1 hour and 58 minutes. Carolina Forest to Goose Creek, 2 hours and 14 minutes. Carolina Forest to Wando, 1 hour and 51 minutes. So it just kind of goes to show you kind of visually how much of a bear that's going to be. And, you know, it stinks because Horry County is so big. I think I heard the other day it's one of the biggest counties, or not, if not the biggest county east of the Mississippi. And then you have no interstate that goes through it. So it's just a hard place to get to. Like, I can't stand driving to Myrtle Beach just because it's just a kind of an annoying route, even from Columbia. And then you got all that traffic over there near Carolina Forest and Coastal, which is something you got to deal with. So,
oh, but see, that's what I love, Steve. Come on, man. You get the wings and the Eagles. You got to have your $10 towels and your $2 flip flops. Everybody gets a hermit crab. Live sharks here. I love it. I embrace it.
Hey, I embrace it too now, especially if there's a round of golf in my future, like the golf around that area right there. I mean, give me some Myrtle Beach National Kings North Course every
day.
Do
they let you play golf in your Carhartt? I never see you when you're not in your Carhartt, so I can't imagine you wearing.
I have a good golf wardrobe. I do. But I used to play up there pretty much every December, you know, all the overseeded grass and, you know, we'd bust out the cart cover and the propane heater to keep it warm. But, you know, I'm getting a little too old to care about golfing in winter weather nowadays.
that's right. Because we have 9 months of good weather. You just say, wait. I'll just wait.
That's right.
All right. That is Steve Hall. I am Matt Smith. We love high school sports and we love the interaction with you. We really want your opinions on these things. And one thing I want to bring up today before we take our first break and head to the second quarter, where we'll reveal the top 10 rankings for high school basketball, where we get the results of what the South Carolina Basketball Coaches Association thinks about all the results that we've had in the last week. We want to make sure that you know how to get in touch with us. On X, it is @4QuarterFriday. That's a great way to get in touch with us. We are trying to always keep up with that. And fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. You can even email the show. And you can always catch us streaming on YouTube at Chief Sports South Carolina, and you can comment there. One thing I want to know, Steve, as we head into our first break and get to the second quarter, just if you could give me 10 seconds on this, and then we'll revisit it later in the show. Maybe we'll even bring it up with our guest, Andrew and Akeem, today from PrepHoops.com. What about mixed regions? You know, in other words, what if you did take, say, all the Horry County schools, and even though Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach and St. James have dropped to 4A, let them play Carolina Forest and Sacristy in a region during the regular season and then just pull them out in the playoffs and move them in the playoffs? Because what that would do, I know it's hard. I think that probably brings the point system, which everybody hated, back into play. But what it would do, at least, is it would keep all the natural rivals together in a region, and the fans would know those games were all coming in October and November.
Yeah, I mean, that's my first thought, is it makes things a little bit more difficult as far as seeding goes for playoff time. And at the end of the day, they're not playing these games to, you know, just to have fun. They're trying to get a championship, you know, trophy on their mantle over at the school, the glass trophy case, you know. So I do think that makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, we still got region play, though. You know, the region play is going to be even, you know, maybe even better than it was before we did this reclassification, just because, you know, they're going to make sure they play those classic rivals, those home team, you know, those crosstown teams that maybe now are not in the same classification.
Yep, I think you're right on about that. That is a debate that we will bring up with all of these people, and we're going to have intelligent people. We had Brian Mahan with us last week, athletic director for J.O. Mann. I thought was very insightful about the process of how regions, you know, reclassification, then through region realignment. We've got a couple of very intelligent writers with us. We'll take care of that coming up in our second hour. And again, you can reach out to us on Twitter, on X, at Four Quarter Friday. Follow along on our YouTube stream as well. You can find all of our shows at Chief Sports South Carolina. If you're looking for Gamecock coverage, you found the right place. This is our high school program, Four Quarter Friday. But coming up after us, you're going to have Jamie Bradford and J.C. Sherbert, Phil Molnax, all a part of the Super Stream from 10 a.m. all the way to 2 o'clock here on the Chief Sports Network. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we will reveal the top 10 basketball rankings from the South Carolina Basketball Coaches Association. Is there a shakeup at the top? We'll find out when we return to Four Quarter Friday.
The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt D'Amaduro's Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com, hdlawsc.com, Hewitt Diamaduros. We're on your team.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
This is Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Justin Hall and Steve Hall. Taking a deep dive into high school athletics in South Carolina every Friday morning. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Four Quarter Friday show. We have Smitty back with us, but I believe he is frozen, so we're going to remove him from the screen and wait till he can get back in, and his camera's working, so got a little tech difficulties going on right now. But I know we're going to be talking about the rankings that are coming up, and so the boys basketball rankings, 5A D1 is got a new team at the top, and that is Dutch Fork. Ridgeview at number 2, Cane Bay at 3, Burns at 4, Ashley Ridge at 5, West Ashley at 6, Dorman at 7, Spartanburg at 8, Sumter at 9, and Carolina Forest at 10. And you know what? Something me and Smitty were talking about is I'm not so sure that Ridgeview might be actually the best team in this state. Ever since they took that loss against Westwood a couple weeks ago, they have just been on a tear in punishing teams on their schedule, and are going to be playing Westwood again for a revenge game on Tuesday, provided that the ice storm that is coming doesn't keep us lasting out of school and shutting down roadways until then, because there's a massive cold front coming in, even colder than the ones that is coming in next Monday or Tuesday. So excited to see kind of what happens and shakes out in 5A Division I, Smitty.
Yeah, I am too. I'm fascinated by this. And I want to ask Andrew Baxley, and that's coming up in our next segment. He writes for prephoops.com. I'm really interested to see if Andrew is of the mind that, you know, who it would take, say Ridgeview or Dutch Fork in terms of the top team right now. And look, that's nothing against Dutch Fork. I have not seen the Foxes play. They very well beat number one. But Ridgeview, as you pointed out, I get the sense, based on their level of talent and recent history, level of talent, a motivated Ridgeview team that is locked in is going to just be a bear for anybody to deal with. And I think if you follow athletics for long enough, you know that those rivalry games, you can get stung in those. The emotions can run too high. You can get tight. You don't play your best game. And the way boys basketball is set up in our state, it's, yes, seeding matters. You need those home games and everything. But it's who's playing the best as you close the season, just as it is in college basketball. Who's playing the best? And I just think Ridgeview's a scary club based on what I know, recent history, and the level of talent that they're bringing to the gym every night.
Yep. I was talking to a couple coaches this week, Smitty, and I asked, you know, Ridgeview, are they the best team in the state? And, you know, they seem to think that, now this isn't a basketball coach, I will, you know, with a grain of salt, and he hasn't seen every team play either, but had a hard time believing that the state champion doesn't come out of that region two, Burns, Dorman, Spartanburg, you know, region.
Okay.
But from me, my standpoint, man, I'm not discounting Ridgeview, and I'm keeping my eye on them going very far, and they're going to be a tough team to beat. I have not seen Dutch Fork yet, Smitty. But they're number one for a reason. So I can't wait to talk to Andrew about that here shortly in the next 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there's just so much good basketball going on. And the games are carrying such intensity right now. Everywhere you look, you are reading or seeing, you know, all of the region and playoff implications on every game that is coming up. You know, it's just because the regions are so tight, and one loss early in region play can put even a good team into a precarious position, especially if it comes at home. That means that you've got to go on the road and beat a good team. So I'm interested in that. Obviously, like I've told you before, I have an extensive history in terms of covering things in the Spartanburg County area. And I'm looking there, you know, Thomas Ryan, the head coach at Dorman, who has, I think, 5 state championships at Dorman. He may like where he is at number 7, almost disrespected a little bit, almost in a position where he's lurking in the shadows, and he knows he's a little bit like Tom Izzo in that, you know, you anticipate them playing their best. They're just those coaches that know how to press buttons, and they're playing their best as the season comes to a close. They're never playing their best at the open of the year. They're always playing, you know, much better into February than they are at the beginning of the year in December.
Yep. And Smitty, I'm also looking at 4A here. I mean, great collegiate in North Augusta. No surprise to continue to see them at 1-2. Great collegiate, I believe, won the first game. They are in the same region. I can't remember what was the score differential, but it was less than 10 points if my memory is serving me right. So can't wait to talk to Andrew about how that rematch is going to come up here soon. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, North Augusta did beat Gray Collegiate last year in the playoffs. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Gray Collegiate is another one of those teams that, under Dion Buffet, who's returned, you know, took a year away and was coaching as an assistant at Georgia Southern, but has returned to Gray Collegiate. He's another one. He has a knack for getting his team to play well at the end of the season, but they're also very talented. At least if you look at recruitable talent, you know, that's part of this. That's part of where we get, you know, you're going to have great high school basketball players that are not recruited at a high level, but a lot of the information that is going to come out to us, oh, have you seen so-and-so play? And, you know, I was just bragging on Ridgeview and the level of talent that I know Gray Collegiate is loaded as well, but North Augusta, man, I'm just, everything I read about them is that they are locked in right now, that they are locked mm-hmm. in and tough to deal with. And I'm looking on our stream. We will get to some of these comments coming up in our next hour. We want to bring those rankings to you, but some good thoughts. We've got James chiming in on our stream, Jeffrey. I see you guys at Truth Hurts 58. Okay. I dig your handle.
Yeah. I saw and, that. Yeah.
yeah. But James brings up that Coach McCoy at James Island had a great suggestion. This goes back to what I brought up about mixed regions. He said mm-hmm. that we should create regions and then classify for the playoffs. In other words, then you go by enrollment once those teams are all in the playoffs. You choose your playoff teams. And then you play for a 5A or 4A or 3A state championship based on the enrollment, you know, like the top 12, I guess, or whatever might be that, might go for 5A, and then the next 12 play for 4A. Not a crazy idea. It's not a crazy idea. No. And I think what we all want is we all want to balance. We want to keep the rivalries alive. I personally have always believed that culture is important inside a region and the history as well. I mean, I was saddened. I think we're all saddened. You've seen this as well, Steve, when something like a school starts to really lose population inside a town and starts to fall, and then they don't get to play their normal rivals anymore. And then the travel gets worse. And then all of a sudden the fans in that small town may not know the teams that they're playing that well. They didn't grow up playing against those teams. You know, it's not like they sometimes, you know, you hear, oh, my uncle played against Union County or my uncle played against Woodruff. And if you're no longer in a region with those teams, for whatever reason, the creation of new schools or enrollment drops or whatever it may be, or, you know, a lot of times what happened is a factory leaves your town and the town goes yeah. from a certain level of population to a lower level of population. Or in the case of Duncan, BMW shows up. And anyway, look, change is inevitable. We're not saying that you can fight against that. But what we do want is South Carolina athletics, football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, track, all of it's special. And I just, to me, culture and rivalries is so important. And I just want to be careful that we don't throw it out every 3 years when we do this reclassification.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is a big deal to me as well. I mean, that's what one of the biggest things, if not the biggest thing, that makes high school sports, especially in the States, so special. Unfortunately, I think we're in a day and age where some of that is being, you know, that is being lost and thrust upon us. You know, we got like the truth hurts 58. When are we going to address players not playing for their school that they're zoned for? I mean,
right.
That's another new thing in today's day and age where people aren't necessarily playing for the communities anymore. I mean, we got several big transfers this week, and we're going to talk about that, you know, as we get later on in the year.
But I want to throw
some Andrew Baxley with us, Smitty, and love to start talking men's hoops.
All right, we will do that. So we will let's bring Andrew in. We're going to put off our break for a few minutes and have Andrew Baxley join us from Prep Hoops, where he will now educate us. So all the things that Steve and I just said that were wrong about Ridgeview and Cane Bay and Goose Creek and Dorman basketball, Andrew is going to clean all that up for us. Andrew, welcome to Four Quarter Friday. So glad you're with us. And so we want to pick your brain about high school hoops in our Palmetto State.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's open with this. Let me open with this, Steve, quickly. I just wanted to ask you, Steve and I were talking, and we both agree, even without having seen them play in person, Steve keeps bringing this up to me. He said, man, Ridgeview is angry. You know, they lost their rivalry game, and then they have actually they have been a buzzsaw ever since. And I know the level of talent that they have, but Dutch Fork is there at number one. So you tell us, what are the odds, what are the chances that Ridgeview can keep this rolling and challenge for a state championship, even knowing how good Dutch Fork and some of the other 5A teams in that Division I are?
Yeah, it's possible for sure. Like you said, Ridgeview had the loss to Westwood, and then they won five straight games by 20 plus. They're 17-3 overall, now 5-1 in region play. Really, the only thing with them is, like, do they have the shooting to match up with Burns and Dorman when they get to that state championship? Because their region is a rolling region, so if they win it, they're in lower state, and then the second place team or the third place team would be in upper state and back and forth. So as it stands right now, they're in second, but Westwood's Division II, so they would be in lower state. But I think that Ridgeview's really good. When they played Westwood, they didn't have a ton of shooting in the second half, and Westwood had the best player on the floor, which is really crazy to say because you talked about all the talent that Ridgeview has. DeMarcus Thomas, he's playing as good as anyone in the state right now, the point guard for Westwood. He just committed to Southern Wesleyan, a D2 in South Carolina. But Westwood's 16-1, so they're really good as well. They're Division II, like I said. If I had to pick right now, Ridgeview wouldn't be my state champion. I'd have Burns over them just because of that shooting. Like, Burns is built to make threes. They play so fast. They have probably the best player in the state in Colt Fowler, and they just play. They shoot. They run. They shoot. They shoot. They don't play a lot of defense, so that could be a problem if they do play Ridgeview. But the Blazers they're really good, and they're going to be really good for a long time.
Andrew, thanks for joining us, man. And if you wouldn't mind just telling everybody what Prep Hoops South Carolina is trying to do for this state. You know, we have Prep Red Zone on a lot in the fall to talk about football. I believe y'all are somewhat affiliated, and those guys do a fantastic job as well. So tell us a little bit more about Prep Hoops South Carolina, and then also what is possibly your pick for a Cinderella team when it comes to playoff time in 5A, 4A? You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So Prep Hoops, it is a sister company of Prep Red Zone. So we're both affiliated with Prep Network. That's the big company. And then we have Red Zone, Hoops, Dig, which is volleyball. We have soccer. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff. And what we do is it's primarily a scouting-based website. So the end goal is to get as many players from our market. So I do South Carolina. So we try to connect them to colleges, get them plugged into the right places, knowing the right coaches, the right AAU teams for the younger players. And yeah, just try to make an impact on these young people. And then when it's around this time, like we're a little bit more free to just cover teams, because you guys care about high school teams, fans care about high school teams. Like people want to know who's going to win the state championship in March. So then to answer your second question, a dark horse team, I like Eastside a lot. They just had a big win over Dorman last week. Their point guard's Thomas Rouse. Shooting guard's Brandon Ray. You might remember Justin Ray a couple years ago at Eastside. He's now at Monmouth. Then they have these two sophomore shooters, Wyatt Duggar and Roman Ruggiero. Those are two of the best shooters in the state, and they're sophomores. So they just have they have an elite roster construction. They have guards that like to get to the rim and then shooting around it. You guys have the rankings up there, number 8 right now, but they weren't ranked prior to that win over Dorman last week. I really, really like the Eastside Eagles and think they have a chance to make a deep run.
That's Andrew Baxley joining us from Prep Hoops, South Carolina. Andrew, if I can, I want to skip all the way down to 3A because I don't want to let you go without asking this question. I know at the earlier in the season, and again, some of these results don't always hold, but I thought it was such a feather in the cap of Christchurch to knock off Dutch Fork earlier in the year, and there they are sitting at the top of 3A right now. I don't know how much you know about what Christchurch is bringing to the table this year, but what, at least if you have seen them or haven't seen them, what are you hearing about Christchurch and how dominant are they?
Yeah, that was one of the most impressive wins in the state. Other than really a couple of hiccups over Christmas break, Dutch Fork have been one of the most dominant teams in the entire state. So for Christchurch, a 3A school, to beat them on a neutral floor, that just really says how good of a team they are. I think that's the only – one of the only teams on this list that I have seen that I haven't seen in person, but I've watched them on film plenty of times. Jonathan Perry and David Dixon are some of their best players. They have some size in there as well. Reed Hip. And then the younger brother of Jordan Butler and John Butler, Joshua Butler. He's a 6'8 sophomore. He comes off the bench. And if you have 6'8 coming off the bench, then you're in a pretty good spot. But Christchurch, they're a really, really good team. Perry likes to get to the rim a lot, and Dixon's a great shooter. So like I mentioned with Eastside, like they have the offensive balance. And a lot of these guys that have been there a while, like Perry and Dixon, they've been playing since they were freshmen. And then they have some guys off the bench as well who can contribute. But I think that Christchurch is my pick currently in 3A. They're a really, really good team. And then if you look at it, a lot of those other teams are lower state teams like Loras, Fox Creek, Keenan. They're all going to beat up on each other. So if Christchurch can make a run, if they can get through upper state unscathed, they're going to be looking at a really good team, but a team that might be banged up a little bit.
Andrew, who is the most tested program in the state across all classifications, in your opinion?
That's a tough one. I mean, because when you're looking at it, like, usually the most tested teams are teams who are playing out of state competition, like a Ridgeview, like a Gray. Like these are teams who are traveling out of state to play good teams. Ridgeview, like they're hosting the Bash. So a lot of these teams are coming into them, like they're playing a dynamic prep on their floor. So I guess my answer for that would be Gray. They play a lot of really good teams. And then the thing with Gray is like, they have to play in maybe the toughest place to play in the entire state. That's at North Augusta. That game hasn't happened yet. Gray beat North Augusta at Gray the first time around. So I would go with Gray. And we know like how good 4A has been the last few years in basketball. Wilson's also really good. They'll likely have to go through them to go to a state championship. So I would go with Gray for that one.
This is Andrew Bax. Go ahead, Steve.
I completely agree with that. I mean, North Augusta, that matchup too, on I think it's Tuesday, is going to be really interesting. You know, those two teams have been battling out for the last 2 years, and North Augusta, I think, bounced Gray in the playoffs, but that was without Dion Bethea as the head coach, so that'll be interesting to see what will happen this year. Go ahead, Smitty.
Oh, I was going to ask about the same thing, North Augusta and Gray Collegiate. I think you're right, Andrew. I think we all agree because, you know, you've got the Bash and Gray Collegiate has played so much out-of-state competition. I was going to ask about a player. I saw that North Augusta's Kamarion Webb went over 1,000 points in his career. So tell us what you know about him, what he brings to the table, because that's going to be a player if Gray Collegiate and North Augusta, they go head to head and we get the pleasure of seeing that. That's a player we're going to circle and want to see.
Right. Definitely going to see it twice. I would love to see it a third time, maybe in the playoffs. But the thing that makes North Augusta special is just how tough they are. And Q leads the way with that. Kamarion Webb, he started his career at Catawba Ridge. So he was there with like Zion Hager, Lance Barnes when he was younger. But Q's he's a two-way player. That's what he does. He's just as impactful on defense as he is offense. He has good length. He's probably their best shooter. A little lanky, like he'll do a couple things that might surprise you in getting to the rim. But Kamarion Webb is such an important player for them because he's going to guard the best player on the defensive end as well. They have two other really good guards, Jordan Rouse and Twan Nabriat. So not only are they big physical guards, but they're experienced guards, and that's really what's going to make North Augusta special, along with that really tough home atmosphere.
Andrew, thanks so much for what you do, man. The rankings that y'all put out, player rankings, they're the best site and best business I've found that has done this at the South Carolina high school level. Simply because, like, guys, like 24/7 Sports, they do like the top 150 in the country, and then they kind of just stop. I went there to kind of look at the high school rankings for South Carolina, and I saw one player listed total. So if you have any interest of like where players are going, where players are ranked inside of the state, Andrew Baxley and the guys at Prep Hoops do a great job.
Yeah, and Andrew, go ahead. Where can we find you? Feel free to bash another site the way that Steve just did. Go ahead and just rip your competition if you feel like it right here.
No, I would never do that. I mean, we see a lot of these guys like one of the or our top ranked 2027, like you mentioned, his name is Josh Leonard. He plays for Wilson, and he's one of the best players in the entire country. He's a top 10 2027. Like he'll play for USA basketball. So we see these guys like 24/7 on three. They're coming to see Josh Leonard. So we gotta put the state on for them.
Well, that's awesome, Andrew. We've got Akeem coming up in a few minutes. So what can you tell us about Akeem? Prep us for Akeem Ballum, if you could.
I don't think I know a bigger women's basketball fan than Akeem. Whether it's WNBA, college basketball, high school basketball, Akeem knows all of women's basketball. He's a really hard worker. We don't always work alongside each other because I'm doing the guys, he's doing the girls, but we'll run into each other at games sometime, and Akeem is always – he's always locked in. He knows exactly what's going on in South Carolina women's basketball.
So he had the popcorn out last night when Oklahoma upset South Carolina. He was watching.
For sure. I don't know about popcorn. I don't know if he might be a South Carolina fan, so he might have had some tissues out. But he was watching for sure.
Oh, you know what? Before we let you go, Andrew, we've got to ask you. So J.O. Man AD, Brian Mahan gave us – we're trying to create a food trail through the state of South Carolina.
Right.
And you travel a lot. So he gave us Home Team Barbecue up there near his place. If you were going up to J.O. Man, that's his choice for pregame. Now, you travel everywhere. So we'll give you a second, but what do you look forward to? You're on the road and say, I've got to go there pregame.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you this one. I'm going to Rock Hill tonight. The game I'm at tonight is Nation Ford at Northwestern. And I'm in Rock Hill a lot because they have the Rock Hill Sports and Event Center. That's the biggest, gym that we have AAU games at. And it's in Rock Hill. So I'm at Northwestern tonight, and I'll be stopping at Empire Pizza. So I'm a big pizza guy. I love pizza, especially like New York style, bigger slices. That's what Empire is. I don't know if they'll have my lunch special. It's usually like two slices and a drink for like $7 during lunch. And that's the best deal around. It's also really good pizza. So I'll give you that one, Empire Pizza in Rock Hill.
I love that. And I'll tell you something. Here we go. This is like an inside baseball thing. For those that don't know, the life expectancy for a sports writer is like 54 because we're on the road and we eat pizza and barbecue and you're like a meat and three place, but it's always mac and cheese. And you know what a concession stand is like. You know, you're not getting celery and carrots at the concession stand. So You got to eat right when you're at home, Andrew, or you're going to end up looking like all those older sports writers, you know. I'm not going to throw names out, but you know, the guys that have triglycerides are way up.
Right.
Thanks for joining us today, Andrew. We can't wait to have you back on soon.
Yeah. I'll just plug one thing, if that's okay. It's on our website. We have it's called Prep Scores now. It's a new thing to us this year. Think KenPom, think net ratings for college basketball. We have our full team database for every team in South Carolina. They have a score based out of 100. If you win a 5A game on the road, like that's the perfect score. If you lose to a 1A team, that's the lowest score. It's completely free. So just go to our website, Prep Hoop South Carolina. You can see our full team database. Check out the best teams in the state who you need to watch in the Columbia area.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Andrew. We've got we'll go to the women's side. Akeem Ballum coming up. We see everybody chiming in on our stream. We want you to comment at our X as well at Four Quarter Friday. That's the number four Quarter Friday. Speaking of quarters, got the third quarter coming up next with Akeem Ballum. We're going to talk women's hoops in the state of South Carolina when we return. Steve Hall, Matt Smith on Four Quarter Friday.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m. We're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Welcome back in to Four Quarter Friday. Time to talk women's basketball with Akeem Ballum. We'll do that in just a minute. We also see you on our stream at Chief Sports South Carolina. And one of the major topics today that we'll hit, and we'll talk about in the fourth quarter today of our show, is realignment. And we opened the show with that. And if you missed that, you can find it on our Twitter page, I think, at Four Quarter Friday. Did you retweet that, Steve, so everybody can look over the regions?
Yes, it's on our Twitter page and our partner and friends, Chief Sports, Inside the Gamecocks. All those guys tweeted it out for me before I could get to it. So thank you for that. It's a team effort over at Chief Sports, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things I brought up previously, Steve, was the idea of mixing the regions. And, you know, so again, as an example, I can just give you this one quickly since I cover it closely, but all the Horry County schools together where they just were, Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, Carolina Forest, Soxtee, St. James, even though some now have moved to 4A, and then reclassifying for the playoffs. And at James on our YouTube stream says they're doing this in 5A now and they're going to be doing it in 1A. But actually, they're not doing it exactly like that because the divisions are set before the season begins. You know, today, if you're a basketball, if you're Westwood, you know you're playing for the Division II title, not the Division I title in 5A. You know now.
I think what James was saying, Smitty, was that's what they're doing currently in this current realignment. With 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2.
Oh, and after they will reclassify. Yeah, because 1A is larger. Right.
1A is so big, and I believe he is right. I think we're going to have two state champions in 1A in some sports.
Yeah, so the numbers shook out like this. I think I have the final numbers that now there are 70 1A teams playing football this upcoming season. And there are only 35 5A teams. So James, so I know some of this gets lost in translation when we're all just chatting here on YouTube, but you're right, James. So next year there's only going to be one 5A state champion, and there Steve has put it up on our screen on our live stream here. Look how large Class A is now, and I hope that this all works out. I agree. I think they're going to split that into two divisions for the playoffs. But I hope all of these teams don't have major issues getting everywhere they need to go with this many regions, 10 regions now in Class A.
Smitty, I'm circling Region 2 with my mouse. You can't see it, but I'm looking there. And Batesburg-Leesville, all right? That's looking like a really tough region for a lot of those teams to be going up against Batesburg-Leesville, who's been very good in football for the past few years. They won a state championship in baseball last year. We're about to enter baseball season again. That's an interesting region right there, man.
Yeah, that is going to be fascinating. I see Abbeville, the A, there in Region 1 as well. And I can tell you the South Carolina School for the Deaf and the Blind, that's a long trip to get to Abbeville. But anyway, we'll continue to talk about this. And we'll have, as a matter of fact, next week, we can tell you now, we're going to have Lou Bazejack from the state join us next week. And also Joshua Vinson, the athletic director for Soxtee High School, are both going to join us on Four Quarter Friday next week. So this week we had a couple of guests. We're really going to dig into boys and girls hoops. If you missed our conversation with Andrew Baxley, very insightful. He gets to see a lot of these teams play, and he kind of handicapped what he thinks how the rest of this season plays out, 5A, 4A, 3A. And we're going to have Akeem Balaam come on and join us, and we'll talk girls basketball, do the same thing. And then next week, we can really dig into realignment with Lou Bazejack and also how it affects schools, as we have Josh Vinson, the athletic director for Soxtee, on. And the reason we wanted to have Josh on is because we wanted to get the thoughts from someone who is greatly affected by this realignment, because down there in Horry County, they went from having the beach region where all of those teams were close-knit, played each other. Soxtee and St. James are sister schools. St. James was split off from Soxtee, but now they are in different classifications, ergo different regions. So we wanted to have Josh Vincent on to do that. And of course, Lou Bazejack is just a fountain of information. He'll have plenty to say about realignment, reclassification, rebirth, regurgitation, and and high school hoops as well. So we're excited about the show in terms of not just what we're bringing you today, but what we can bring to you in the future as we roll closer to the basketball playoffs in both boys and girls.
Yeah, I think we got a, maybe a little less than halfway through region play to be played, and then the playoffs are going to go all the way into March. So that'll be fun. Smitty, let's talk a little bit about, I don't know if we have enough time. We got about 5 minutes before Akeem joins us. We got the NFL, AFC and yep. NFC championship games coming up this Sunday. And you texted me all the players that are going to be from South Carolina playing in this game. And so what's crazy is we got a ton in the NFC, but in the AFC, we have the one DJ Jones from Wren. All right, go Broncos.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. You know what? I saw that. And the Patriots have a lot of players that have backgrounds in, like, at the University of Alabama. And so a lot of players for the Pats are kind of from that western part of the Sun Belt region. And you'll get to the NFC in a second, but yeah, go Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So DJ Jones, the proud alma mater of Will Merritt, and DJ Jones, I'm sure was a baller. I do not remember him at Wren, but man, I bet he was a load high school.
Dude, he was a dude. I mean, he's just a freak. He's not that tall, but his arms are super long. He's just strong as an ox. He was coached by Coach Jeff Tate, who's now at Ashley Ridge, been the head coach there, and will be looking to put some more players in the NFL from the Somerville, South Carolina area. And then we have, I guess something about the West Coast just loves South Carolina players.
Right.
You know, look at this. I mean,
yep.
You see Nick Emanwori, former Gamecock. Man, some of these dudes are just really dang good, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And by the way, quickly.
Lawrence from Aiken County.
Yeah, if you're wondering, DJ Jones ended up at Ole Miss. So he was recruited out of Wren to go to Ole Miss. And then, as you said, there's something about the West Coast teams. Robbie Oots, a Bearcat that went to Alabama, and he was about 240 coming out of high school, which is still that's a man. That's a grown man coming out of high school at 240, and he was playing tight end. He's more of a fullback for the Seahawks, and he played plays at 274 now, 274 pounds out of Football City, USA. DeMarcus Lawrence, Tank, a monster, and he played for Al Lown, legendary head coach at Silver Bluff. And, you know, anybody that follows the NFL, DeMarcus Lawrence was like a straight-up baller for the Dallas Cowboys and became the highest-paid player for the Cowboys. Now he's there with the Seattle Seahawks. Nick Emanwori. Steve, I know you remember him in college from Irmo to South Carolina. He was a great player in the SEC.
Yeah, his rookie season too, and he's balling out.
So he's a great player. Carver's Bay, Byron Young comes from there. Kobe Durant comes from Lamar, which is also, how about this? The high school that produced LeVon Kirkland and John Abraham. What in the world is going on at Lamar? Those are two legit, like, Hall of Fame level players, LeVon Kirkland and Kobe Durant, by the way, went to South Carolina State where he starred. He was an absolute star at South Carolina State, and now he's a star for the Rams. Nick Hampton from Westside. Darian Kendrick, I know everybody remembers him, also from up there in the Rock Hill area, played at South Point, then went to Clemson, transferred his final year to Georgia. And Darian Kendrick was a college star. Now he's an NFL star. So, Steve, I think it's just a testament to when you go to high school football games on a Friday night in South Carolina, you might be putting eyes on a future NFL star like DJ Jones or one of these players. It is nothing to think about. I mean, I remember going – you too. We've all seen it. Like, you would have gone to ball games and seen all these great players from the Columbia area. I was younger, and I was going to, you know, just – putting eyes and I was like, who is this Sidney Rice? This guy's catching everything. And these guys end up going on being college stars and then making Pro Bowls. And it just shows you the level of athleticism and the great coaching and the great training and everything we have, the camps all the way up through South Carolina. Not that big a state, but oversized impact at the NFL level. So remember those names. Maybe we can tweet them out. Remember those names when you're watching
the
games.
We'll throw that on the Twitter, And we'll have to keep that segment also. Palmetto Pro Players. You know, the alliteration. It sounds like a good segment.
Oh, well, you know what? Lou Bazejack just tweeted that Dylan Jones, No, he got signed by the Knicks. By the Knicks. So a basketball player too. So yes, you're right. We'll keep the segment going. So we'll have the division champ, the NFC, AFC championship. We'll have the Super Bowl. And then we'll turn our attention to some of the great players from our state that also have landed in the association. And speaking of which, how about the women's basketball in our state? Akeem Balaam is joining us now from Prep Hoops, South Carolina. Akeem, sorry to have you on a day after Dawn Staley and her team are shocked on the road at Oklahoma. Your colleague Andrew Baxley was telling us you're a big Dawn Staley Gamecock fan. Did you stay up and watch the game?
it's interesting. I didn't actually watch the game because I was actually down. Sorry about that. I was actually down at Williston Elko covering a high school game between WE and Bamberg Earhart. It's interesting because Williston Elko actually went into that game, I believe, eighth ranked among 1A teams, and Bamberg Earhart just blew them out of the water. So I didn't have a chance to watch the Oklahoma South Carolina game, but I did read about it a little bit earlier, and it was a little bit of a surprising result with the Gamecocks taking the L. But if it's one thing we know about Dawn Staley coach teams is that they know how to show up in March and early April. So, the overall landscape of the college game is a lot more even than it used to be. It was a bit of a surprising loss considering where South Carolina was ranked. But I feel like Dawn Staley and those women on the Gamecocks, I feel like they'll be okay.
Akeem, thanks for joining us, man. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of girls basketball in South Carolina, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and then tell us about Prep Girls Hoops South Carolina.
So my background is very varied. So I'm in South Carolina right now, but I wasn't born here. I'm not a native of SC. I was actually born on Long Island, New York. And I'm a graduate of Georgia State University 2015. So I've had the opportunity to work at a lot of places. I've been at the Concord Independent Tribune for a couple of years. I did some work with a couple of Georgia papers south of Atlanta. I previously worked at the Courier Journal in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm also doing a lot of WNBA work with this website Beyond the W. So as well as some softball work with Prep Softball, which happens to be a sister site of Prep Girls Hoops. And it's interesting because this past, I believe, November, I was actually in Georgia for the softball state championships in Georgia because softball in Georgia is a fall sport. So I've had the opportunity to be able to do a lot of things. And now I've been with Prep Girls Hoops ever since 2020. Previously, when I was, in my previous time with Prep Girls Hoops, I was, under Brett Swanson, Swanee. He was the editor in chief, if you will, of the South Carolina site before they decided to promote me to that position. But Swanee is doing great work as well with his Swanee's Round Ball Review. So definitely shout out to Swanee. When I first got the call that I was promoted to basically site editor for Prep Girls Hoops South Carolina, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is it that I'm doing here? I have so much now to do, updating rankings, adding new you know, names to the database, but I feel like I've been able to really settle in as of late. And now, now it's just second nature for me. So, you know, so I've really been able to enjoy the transition that I've made from just a typical writer to now their site editor. And there's so much, to talk about really when you think about South Carolina high school girls basketball.
Well, that's great. Akeem, you know, we just, I opened up with mentioning Dawn Staley in South Carolina college basketball. Have you seen the popularity that affect the popularity to all the way down to girls basketball across the board? In other words, are more people showing up to those games and supporting the young women in our state? Because it's just, they're seeing the WNBA more popularized. They're seeing college basketball on TV, women's basketball every night. Has it affected girls basketball as well?
I believe so. I believe so. And I think especially in this state, because there's so much of a national lens on this state, not just this state, but also really the Carolinas region, because, you know, because, yeah, South Carolina has been so successful in terms of the fact that they've won 3 national championships in the past few years. And I think that that definitely has indeed translated into an increased level of popularity, you know, for the girls game. When you think about high school, when you think about AAU, because now when people think about, you know, South Carolina, everybody is thinking, okay, who's going to be the next Ashlyn Watkins? Who is going to be the next Mylasia Fulwiley? Who is going to be the next Joyce Edwards? So there's so much of a lens now because of the names that are homegrown from this state, you know, as well as from this region. Also, Kiyomi McMiller, who's now at Penn State, she previously played at Trinity Collegiate. So there's such a lens now when you think about who's coming out of this state, where now everybody is thinking, okay, because maybe folks in the past were probably sleeping on the girls basketball scene down here, but I feel like that's no longer the case. So I think that there is increased attention, and it is indeed translating into increased support. One of the things that definitely sticks out to me is almost every single time I cover a girls basketball game, somebody's wearing the Asia Wilson A1s, or maybe even the whole team is wearing the Asia Wilson A1s. So it definitely has had a domino effect, and I feel like it's had an overall positive domino effect on the girls scene here in SC.
Keen, that's a fantastic. And that was one of my questions, is how was Asia Wilson's presence in the South Carolina high school girls basketball scene, and then Gamecocks affected the whole entire state. And it sounds like it's quite a bit. You know, let me ask you this. So for those people who are covering Gamecock women's basketball recruiting, or just big time recruiting for girls basketball period, who do we need to be, you know, watching on a week in to week out basis, player wise from across the state?
Well, I currently have Selena Grant at North Augusta as my number one ranked overall as far as 2026s. And if I remember correctly, I believe she is still unsigned. So that is a name that I would definitely be on the lookout for. Selena Grant has already built a state championship resume. You know, you're definitely going to build a state championship resume when you're under the tutelage of Al Young at North Augusta. So that's definitely a name I would certainly be on the lookout for. There's also a couple of names that are certainly intriguing at the top of my 2027 list. One of them is Kalia Hartwell, who is, you know, who is their big up at Westside. And at first, she kind of, you know, she kind of came in and she was a little bit raw talent-wise, but she has really developed into one of the premier bigs across South Carolina. And it seemed like every single week she's posting about a Division I offer that she's receiving. So Kalia Hartwell is definitely one of the names that I would be on the lookout for. Another one at South Point is Janiyah Cunningham, who, if I remember correctly, she plays the same exact position as Kalia Hartwell, and she too is also a D1 prospect. So I would certainly be on the lookout for her. When you look at the 2028 class, I would definitely keep an eye on names like Kaylee Lucas at South Point, Taylor Lee Sutton at Keenan, Madison Pojani at First Baptist. So, you know, if I remember correctly, all three of those are guards. So they're all backcourt players. So I would certainly be, you know, checking for them as well. I have Ashlyn Evans at Burns, who before they just lost to Dorman, if I remember correctly, Burns was previously undefeated. But I have Ashlyn Evans as my number one ranked as far as 2029s are concerned. Another name among the 2029 class to be on the lookout for is Madeline Dates at Goose Creek. And she's similar to Evans, is already starting to build a bit of a national profile. Those are a couple of 2029 names. 2030, Layla Singletary at Irmo. She's an eighth grader. And I saw her drop a 30-some-odd point performance at a recent tournament. And I believe she dropped back-to-back 34-point performances back during the tournament schedule. So Layla Singletary at Irmo is another name that I would certainly be on the lookout for. But yeah, there is definitely talent widespread throughout the state.
How about that? Talking to Akeem Balaam from Prep Girls Hoops here on Four Quarter Friday. Akeem, you just mentioned Burns. Burns came up there number one in the most recent rankings, 5A Division I. And we talked about that region in boys basketball with your colleague, Andrew Baxley. Let's talk about it in girls basketball. Burns, Dorman, Spartan High, all three in the top 10. It is the state champion in that group.
It very well could be when you think about, you know, when you think about the teams that are in that region. And that's why I was especially paying a lot of attention to Spartanburg and what they were able to do early on, because, you know, the thing with Spartanburg is, you know, they have some talent on their team as well. When you think about Azaria Sims, you think about De'Asia Bridges, you think about Kaylee Nelson. I was watching a lot of Spartanburg in the early portions of the season, and one of the things that stuck out to me was, yeah, they got out to a great start, but at the same time, the one thing that definitely scared me, like you said, was that region. Because you think about teams like Burns, you think about teams like Dorman, you think about teams like Gaffney, you even think about a team like Riverside, led by Kendall Horosky. And the reason why I bring up Riverside is because Riverside, Riverside, they previously won a state championship just a couple of years ago when they were a 4A team. A couple of years ago, they beat AC Flora at the Florence Center for the 4A state championship. So, and I just recently watched Riverside at the She Got Next MLK Classic, and they put forth a really, really dominant performance. The thing with Riverside, though, is that they're young. So that's kind of the knock against Riverside. But when I heard about that Burns Dorman result, the first thing I was thinking was, okay, that could very well be a 5A Division I upper state championship preview. So when you think about the teams in that region, there's a good chance that the state champion could very well be from that region, because that's one of the toughest regions in the state, especially for 5A, where you know the talent's going to be deep.
Akeem, you mentioned that you were at the MLK Bash over, I think it was at C.A. Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, in Columbia this past Monday, was it? This week is going by so quick. Tell us a little bit about that tournament. Like, what did you see there from all the teams, girls-wise?
Well, I wasn't necessarily at that tournament. I was actually at the JL Mann. I was at the She Got Next MLK That's Classic. Right. That was at JL Mann, and I believe there were 16 teams, 8 games overall, and there were definitely some standout performances. But the one standout performance that certainly sticks out to me was what Jada Aiken was able to do for Malden. And Malden is another one of the teams to beat, obviously, when you look at 5A D1. Aiken had a 30-point performance for the Mavs up there. So, and like I said, Malden is dangerous. They're led by Zara Lehman. Of course, I mentioned Jada Aiken. I didn't mention Jalayla Ligon as well, Imani McIver. So, that performance from Jada Aiken when she dropped 30 points, and I believe they were playing Ben Lippin at the time. And Ben Lippin's actually been one of the better 4A Skeezer teams. They're a young team, but they've been one of the better 4A Skeezer teams. So, Jada Aiken's performance when she dropped those 30 points, that was the one that really stuck out to me when I was up at J.L. Mann for that for that showcase.
Now, well, Akeem, we can't
last
think...
note about Martin Luther King bash. Okay, just kind of leave. North Augusta put it on Goose Creek. Hmm. Two top teams in this state from two different divisions, 61-36. That's a big result right there.
That's North Augusta for you. I mean, there's a reason as to why, you know, they win in March. They win in February and March. But it's going to be tough in 4A. You know, when you think about South Point, West Side, as well as Camden, who's back in the mix as well. So 4A is always tough.
That's
4A definitely always tough.
We might have to start a win of the week segment just based on that. That is, as you said, Steve, a big time result. Akeem, we can't thank you enough for joining us. We're certainly going to have you back on as we let you go. Let us know which the next game you're going to see, and how can everybody follow you with Prep Girls Hoops here in South Carolina.
Well, first, if you're going to talk about win of the week segments, I think you definitely have to talk about maybe North Myrtle Beach and what they were able to do with the Kings Classic. There's a reason why they're undefeated and top ranked in 5A D2. So be on the lookout for North Myrtle Beach, lower state 5A D2 participants from last year. But definitely follow me. I'm at Akeem Balaam on X. I'm at Akeem Balaam _ on Instagram, and also follow Prep Girls Hoop South Carolina. So I'm gonna hunker down probably for the next few days. As we ride out this snowstorm or ice storm or sleet storm or whatever it is that we're supposed to be getting. But I'm actually planning on going to Gaffney and Eastside. I think that's going to be the next game that I go to, because I've seen Eastside. Eastside was at the She Got Next MLK Classic, but I haven't seen Gaffney yet. So I want to get a look at Gaffney and see what they're all about. But yeah, I'm all over the place for sure.
Akeem, we really appreciate you. We appreciate Andrew Baxley. Oh, I said we're going to let you go, but hang on, 10 more seconds with you. We're doing this with every guest. We're creating a food trail throughout South Carolina. Andrew Baxley just told us we've got to go to Empire Pizza in Rock Hill. Now, they've got New York style, and you're from up there in Long Island. So You're a transplant here to South Carolina. Where have you eaten? Where do you recommend we go pregame meal if we're going to catch a meal somewhere in South Carolina?
Well, there is a really good, I'm really big on Chinese food. And there is a really good Chinese place. I believe it's Asian Express, that's actually right up the road from where I live here in Columbia. So, really good chicken, really good rice, really good menu. So definitely check that out if you're trying to grab some, pregame grub.
I love it. Who had Asian Express on their bingo card today?
I don't make it. It is what it is. Too much anymore with Chinese food, but if you're ever in Lexington, you got to get to Anti, man. Anti is the spot in Lexington.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a plan for sure. I'll definitely keep that in my notes.
All right, man.
All right, that's wonderful. Thank you, Akeem. Thank you so much. We've got to take one more break. We've got the fourth quarter coming up. We'll return to region realignment, maybe talk about the job openings that are still out there for high school football in our state as well. Steve Hall, Matt Smith with you here on Four Quarter Friday, Chief Sports Network.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch up? Visit RecoatRevolution.com in South Carolina today.
Smitty.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. That is Steve Hall. I am Matt Smith. Our big story today, region realignment. The new regions are out. Reclassification, the dust has settled on that, but we have new regions to talk about. Those will come into effect in the following school year when football and the fall sports get cranked back up. Of course, our focus today was with our two guests, Andrew Baxley and Akeem Balaam of Prep Hoops, South Carolina, was on what's going on here in the winter sports. Next week, we'll have Lou Bazejack join us from the state and Joshua Vinson, the athletic director for Socasty, as his programs are greatly affected by this region realignment. Steve, I don't know how much time we'll spend on this, but I did want to check in with you on high school football job openings. We had a lot of prominent jobs come open at the end of last football season. Some of those are starting to get filled. Some are still open. But, Steve, I anticipate some of those will start to put names with programs very soon here as we move closer and closer to the end of this semester.
Yeah, and it looks like it was announced earlier this week. Bobby Ruff was hired at Liberty to be their football coach. He comes from Liberty University. And he was the assistant linebackers coach over there. So I believe he hails from this state. I need to revisit what school he played at, but he's coming back home to South Carolina, being the new head football coach at Liberty. And Smitty, I did pick up some intel this week about Chapin and White Knoll. I believe those two teams will be announcing, or those two schools will be announcing this week, this upcoming week, or maybe 2 weeks, but I would expect those two to be one of the next to announce. A little bit of a tidbit here, a little bit of teaser. White Knoll is going to be hiring a state championship winning coach from another program.
Breaking news. Hit the sounder. How about that? Okay, so a state championship winning coach is headed to Chapin.
No.
White Knoll.
Yeah. Now, okay. Chapin has some major ties to the Columbia area, and has done well at every stop he's been to. It's not announced yet, so I won't announce that name, but I do expect those two to be announced soon.
But and so we're clear, because one of the ones I've had an eye on is the Sumter opening. With a tremendous tradition. I mean, that's a good job. The one town, one team. But the Sumter Gamecocks do not yet, they have not yet announced a new head football coach.
Well, I mean, I haven't heard anything concrete or any interviews or who's interviewing or who they've announced. I have not had any intel on that. But there is a lot of speculation out there that Drew Marlowe at South Florence could be his job to turn down. He played there, he coached there under Coach Barnes for many years and has done.
I think 10 or 11 seasons he was a coordinator there. Yeah, so you just, it's one of those marriages you anticipate the getting together. Yeah. But as you said, there's been no official announcement. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's even interviewed. You know, it's just one of those things that, and as soon as Sumter came out Coach Barnes announced that he was leaving and going back to North Carolina to get closer to family, that was one of the first speculative, candidates for the job.
All right, absolutely. You know what? We will try to keep you abreast on all of that on our Twitter at Four Quarter Friday. We will keep an eye out. Of course, announcements will come out. Sometimes they can happen over the weekend. And if we're not streaming at the time, that's okay. You can always follow us at Four Quarter Friday. You can also always find the stream at Chief Sports South Carolina on YouTube. And you can just download the Chief Sports app and you get all of the great programs that are a part of our network. Before we go, I want to revisit region realignment one more time as well, Steve, because I really didn't get to your thoughts on how things are working in the Midlands. You can go anywhere you want, any classification, because sometimes in the Midlands, you know, you do have outliers because you've got to make sure that the schools that might be over closer to Sumter County or over in Camden or back over in Aiken, you know, they've got to have a home as well. So when you glance at how things are happening in the Midlands in terms of region realignment, were you satisfied? And are there any things that raise your eyebrows in terms of who got paired with whom?
Sure. I mean, across the state, I mean, you know, moving away from like the, just the travel topic, because that is a big, you know, topic of conversation, but they are set now. And so just from the competition standpoint, I find a lot of these, you know, regions very interesting, and some of them are kind of a blast from the past, you know, maybe not so distant past, but the region 4 and 5A is very interesting. You got Blythewood, Gray Collegiate now is 5A, Ridgeview, Spring Valley, and Sumter. That's a very interesting region there. Now, I think that Blythewood's probably happy about not having to travel up to Rock Hill, Fort Mill area now as much as they were. Looking at region 4 and 4A, AC Flora, Dreer, Indian Lands coming down to the Columbia region, which is interesting. And Lancaster is as well. And then you have Lugoff, Elgin, Richland, Northeast, and Westwood. You know, I'm keeping an eye on Westwood there. Our friend Stephen Burris, who's done a really good job in his first year over there. You know, and Ken Floyd at AC Flora, football wise, you know, he resigned, and it was announced earlier this week that they have several players leaving in the portal to go to another state over at Raven Gap. So Westwood might be, you know, really liking that draw. You know, then you got region 5 and 4A, and Irmo is going to be basically in the CSRA region, which is interesting. Aiken, Fox Creek, Irmo, Midland Valley, North Augusta, and South Aiken will be interesting for a basketball conference. Irmo and Fox Creek are very good, typically year in, year out. And North Augusta, as you know, we've been talking a lot about them today. So those are the big ones that kind of jump right off the top of the page for me. And then you got Region 4, 3A in the Columbia area, Airport, Brooklyn, Casey, Camden, Gilbert, Lower Richland, and Swansea. So a lot of intriguing competitive regions that I think, you know, for the most part, going to be pretty good competition, pretty good you know, competitive balance.
Yeah, I think so. I think it sounds like it. And there's a couple that we'll come back to Lou Bazejack with some of those in the Midlands you mentioned, like Indian Land coming in and Lancaster coming to be a part of things in the Midlands, and just what he thinks of that. And then, of course, we'll cover the entire state next week in terms of realignment. But we'll do it all week long at Four Quarter Friday on Twitter. As we leave you here, we're in the final couple of minutes. I don't know if you can put that graphic back up of players from our state that are going to be playing in the NFC and AFC championship. Well, there's just one in the AFC championship game, DJ Jones from Wren. But Steve, I don't think you're a fan of any of these teams. Now, I'm a Rams fan, which I have kept under wraps. I've not talked about because our colleague JC Sherbert from Chief Sports Network is a Bears fan. And it just, I just didn't want to rub it any salt in the wounds of the Bears losing to the Rams in overtime. But does this affect you at all? Who, when you watch the games, are you going to pull for anybody now that you see all these names up on the screen from players that are from the Palmetto State?
Well, you know, I don't have a really strong allegiance to an NFL team. I am a Packers fan. If they lose to the Bears, like they did this year on some heartbreaking games, I am not upset about it. It doesn't bother me in the least. So I don't know if you can even say that I'm a fan of an NFL team, but I do root for a lot of players. And so seeing all these guys, I will be rooting for them individually. If I'm having to pick, I'm probably going to pick the Seahawks from a fandom side. I'm not necessarily picking them to win the game, but as far as I've always loved watching the Seahawks defenses, especially when they're in Seattle in front of the 12th man. But Nicky Amemori being a Gamecock, I typically choose to pull for the teams that have Gamecocks on them.
we'll roll to a close here. As I said, I'm a Rams fan. I'd watch out my pick to click. Watch out for Kobe Durant. Kobe Durant's a baller. But I'll tell you, I really like DeMarcus Lawrence as well. I think that was a great pickup for the Seahawks out of Silver Bluff. And then he went away from the state for a while, played at Boise State collegiately. But he's going to be on your television screen wherever you are because you can catch the NFC Championship game and all those players we just put up. And we'll try to tweet that for you as well because there's a chance one of them makes an impact play, and it could be somebody from right here in the Palmetto State. So we're closing things out. Steve, thank you so much. Lou Bazejack from the state and Joshua Benson, athletic director. Soxty joins us when we return next Friday for Four Quarter Friday. That's it for us. Stay tuned to the Chief Sports Network for Gamecock coverage inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford and then on with JC and Phil throughout on the Superstream here on the Chief Sports Network.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us. All of South Carolina. We love talking ball. And we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.